I don't know what wall you're facing right now, what situation's going on in your life, what thing's got you confused, what thing has you hurt, what thing is keeping you from moving forward into God, but I'm just telling you right now, according to the Word of God and the Scriptures, God is getting you ready, so let Him get you ready. Who here has ever fallen and just totally, you know, ate it? Fell down. You faulted down. Many of you know that just this past week, my son and daughter-in-law and their two kids surprised us from Japan, so we got to spend a few days with them. It was a great time. And one of the days we got to spend was at the pool, because as every grandparent should do, should take your kids and play in the pool a little bit. Can I get an amen for that, right? Should take them in the pool. And so we're in the pool, we're having a great time, and so it was time to get out of the pool. My oldest grandchild, Arabella, she gets out, we sit around there and wrap a towel around her, dry her off a little bit, and she's standing there, and we're kind of getting the other kid out of the pool, and we're getting out of the pool. And then she sees through the window her grandmother, and she just gets pumped. So she starts running towards the house, and as she's running towards the house, she steps on the towel, and she right into the side of the house, stuck all in all. And for a moment, I was really proud of her because she shook the whole house. I'm like, if you're going to fall, do it right. And she did. She shook the whole house, and she was just terrified, and her dad's terrified, and she got a little blood coming out of the side of her head, and she just smacked. If only the wall wasn't there, she could have reached grandmother. It would have been her win. That's all she wanted. She wanted to get to the other side of that wall, except she tried to go through the wall. Have you ever just been going along in life and things are going great? You seem to be having a lot of joy and a lot of happiness and like, okay, things are good, God's good, we're going great. And all of a sudden you step on the towel and you hit a wall. Who could relate to that? You just hit a wall and you're just like, what is this wall doing here? If only the wall wasn't here. If only this thing wasn't here that's keeping me from moving forward to what God has for me. I just can't seem to get past that wall. Let me ask you this morning. What wall are you facing right now that's keeping you from the win that God has for you? Maybe it's a wall you built. Maybe it's a wall of sin. Maybe it's a wall of doubt. Maybe it's a wall of laziness. Maybe it's a wall of something. I don't know. Maybe it's a certain situation that came up out of nowhere. You didn't know this. You wouldn't expect it. All of a sudden, where'd the wall come from? I think we've all faced that, haven't we? We're in our series, The After Party, and we've been talking about everything that happened after the resurrection of Jesus, going through the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 10 now, and what we're going to see now is a situation between Jews and Gentiles, specifically a man named Peter and a man named Cornelius, and one was a Jew, one was a Gentile, and there was a wall between them. And this wall was keeping them from the win that God had for them. And as we go through this story this morning, what we're going to learn is that God breaks down every wall. God breaks down every wall. God can break down the wall that's going on in your life. He can break it down. God's going to break down this wall between Jews and Gentiles. And that's really what God had talked about. Jesus had talked about that all the way back in the first part of the book of Acts. Because here's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem," that's all the Jews, "in all Judea and Samaria," it's all Samaritans, "and to the ends of the earth," that's all the Gentiles. So Jesus already said, when the Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to break down some walls. And now here, like a decade later, we're going to see this happen in like real time as God uses Peter and Cornelius to show us how God breaks down some walls. And this is going to be an amazing lesson about how God can break down walls in your life. In fact, here's what I want you to know. I'm going to tell you this morning. Don't let the wall keep you from the win. Don't let the wall keep you from the win. Whatever it is that's blocking you, you keep smacking your head against it. It keeps you from moving on to God. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a family situation. Whatever it is, it's keeping you from moving forward. Don't let the wall keep you from the win. God doesn't want that to happen in your life. So as we get into the story, let me give you a little backdrop what's happening, because it covers almost two chapters, and we can't read all that today because I really like to talk. So there was a man named Cornelius, and Cornelius was a centurion in the Roman army. That means he is a man of power. He had about 100 soldiers underneath him. Typically in that culture, a centurion would have been involved in the community. They would have known key religious figures. He would have been a man of influence. And Cornelius was very religious. Do you know anybody like that? Just very religious, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He knew about God, but he didn't know God yet. He prayed to God, but he didn't really know how to get to God. He gave gifts to the poor. He helped widows. He did all these good things. He had a lot of service to God, but he didn't really know God. As a centurion soldier, he wouldn't have been allowed to go into the Jewish temple and offer sacrifices. There's a lot of things he wouldn't have been able to do. So he kind of was on the fringe of really what it meant to know God, and he was struggling with this. And one day, during his prayer time, an angel visits him. Could you imagine that? An angel just visits in prayer time. And this is what the angel said to him in Acts chapter 10, verse 4. The angel said, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God." Let's just stop right there for a second. Isn't that amazing? Just think about the context and what it's saying here. I know you're not a Christian yet. I know you're just going through the religious motions. You haven't had a faith profession yet, but I just want you to know, the angel says, that your prayer and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. And I wonder if I could ask you this morning, what in your life is coming up before God as a memorial to Him? Are your prayers, are your acts of service, is your heart, is your life coming up before God as a memorial? Because that's what's happening to Cornelius. What a great example to us all. It says, "Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter." Cornelius was religious, but he didn't have a relationship yet. He was struggling with this, but there was something about his prayers. There was something about his acts of service. There was something about his life that said, "Hey, listen, I realize that my religion is not quite enough. I'm missing something." And this is the point we find Cornelius. He's like struggling. I know that my religion just isn't quite enough. And so God comes and visits him, and he recognizes that he needs more than religion. And this is where we learn the first practical application for our life. If you have a wall that is keeping you from the win, you need to be like Cornelius, and you need to start seeking God, and you will find him. Everyone say will. That's a promise in Scripture, that you will find him. Do you know what my granddaughter did? The moment her head hit that stucco, before she even really started crying and realized what she had done and what had happened, she turned to start looking for someone who could help her. And that's exactly what we need to do in our life. When we hit the wall and we don't know what to do, we don't know what just happened, we're just kind of confused, we're dazed, I hit this wall, I can't move forward, what do we need to do? I need to seek the person who can help me, and that's God. Too many times, people, when things get tough in their life, they need to take a break from God. I need to stop going to his house. I need to stop serving him. I need to just kind of, I need some me time, when it should actually be the opposite. The minute I hit the wall, I need to go full force into God. I need some help right now. And I need to start seeking God even more than ever before. Start seeking God and you will find him. All the way back in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, he said, listen, there's going to be a point in your life when you rebel against me. And you're going to be caught in captivity, and all these bad things are going to happen. And it's going to look pretty bleak. You are going to hit a wall. But he says, I'm going to make a promise to you. And here's the promise he made in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He says, but if from there, if at that point when you hit the wall, if from that moment when you hit the wall, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. How awesome is that? If at that point, when you hit the wall, start looking for the person that will help you, that can help you, you'll find God. You'll find God. Because here's the secret. This might surprise some of you, but God's not hard to find. That's a shock-a-rooney for some of you. He's not hard to find. He's not hiding. Did you know that? God's not hiding. We know that from Scripture because Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, he said, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek us out, to seek and save the lost. God's not hiding from you. He promises that he can be found by you. Cornelius is seeking God. He said, God, I want to find you. I want to know you. And he was beginning to seek God like never before. And he kept seeking. He didn't know how to find God. He struggled with the relationship. All he had was religion. But there was something in Cornelius' heart that knew his religion wasn't enough. So he kept seeking God, and God was about to answer him in a very big way. I think God's about to answer some of you in a very big way. You start seeking him. The next chapter over, when Peter was giving the report to the other apostles, he said this about Cornelius in Acts chapter 11. He told us how he had seen an angel, and it appeared in his house and said, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Cornelius, I'm going to tell you something that you have been longing to hear for so long. I'm going to show you what it is not to have religion, but I'm going to show you what it is to have a relationship with me. Send for Peter, and he's going to tell you. That's a powerful moment. Why? Because Cornelius kept seeking God. And then he was found by God. And that's a great example to us. See, God always responds to the heart that seeks him. He always responds to the heart that seeks him. He wants us to seek him. Is it possible? Is it remotely possible that the reason you can't get past the wall that you're facing right now is because you've stopped seeking God? You've been seeking everything else but God. Is it possible that that's the reason? I challenge you to consider that this morning. If you seek God, he will be found by you. You need to move past religion into a deeper relationship. And God's getting ready to answer Cornelius in a very big way. So Cornelius, in obedience, he sends a whole delegation to Joppa, where Peter is. It's about a 2-day, 30-mile trek on foot. They didn't have Ubers. They had to walk everywhere, or ride a camel or a donkey or whatever. Most of them walk. They're going to go over there and they're getting Peter. And so he sends the whole delegation over there. And while they're traveling, the apostle Peter in Joppa is on the roof praying. And like any man, he gets hungry. And he thinks, I'm hungry. That's like a man thing. I'm going to start praying, but first, I should get a bite to eat. So he gets hungry, and he tells them, hey, prepare some food. So he goes up in prayer, and while he's in prayer, he sees a vision. God gives him a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, and on the sheet is all kinds of four-footed animals and birds and reptiles. It's full of people, and this is where God gives me my life verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 13. Then the voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Thank you, Jesus. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. It's my life verse. They say, Pastor, what's your favorite verse? Get up, kill and eat. It's from the Lord, and I'm just being obedient. When I wake up in the morning, my wife says, what are you going to do? I'm going to kill something, and I'm going to eat it. Can we just thank God for carnivorous Christianity right now? We thank Jesus right now for that. Isn't that amazing? God, I thank you for bacon and sausage. I thank you for fried chicken and lobster and shrimp. I thank you for sushi. Get up, Pastor, kill and eat. Yes, Lord. It's my life verse. Obviously, this had way deeper meaning than my tummy. Because this wall between the Jews and the Gentiles was called the law. And the law told the Jews, there are certain things you cannot eat because it will make you unclean. And when you're unclean, it puts a wall between you and your relationship with God. You have to not eat these things. This is part of the law. There's many more things that go with that, but just in simplicity, don't do that. Now, the Gentiles ate all of those things, and so they were considered unclean. It's one of the reasons why they were considered unclean. So they ate all those things. So Peter's like, what are you talking about, God? So here's Peter's response. Peter said this in verse 14. He said, surely not, Lord. This is his way of saying no, God. Just P.S., don't tell God no. It doesn't work out so well. Jonah. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't know about that story, read the Bible. Jonah told God no, and that was ugly. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. See that? Never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. That's a powerful moment. Don't call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. When God tells something three times, he means it. This whole vision caused Peter to wonder what it all meant. This is where we get the second thing that applies to our life. If you have a wall that's keeping you from the wind, what should you do? You need to let God get you ready. You need to let God get you ready. Peter didn't understand what the sheet meant. He didn't understand what all the animals meant. He heard God, but he was pondering it, wondering about it. It was confusing to him. And what he didn't realize is that God was getting him ready to be part of something that was literally going to change the church, and it was literally going to change the world. God was getting him ready. He didn't understand it. He couldn't comprehend it. It was beyond his ability. He's like, this is kind of confusing to me. But God was getting him ready. I don't know what wall you're facing right now, what situation's going on in your life, what things got you confused, what thing has you hurt, what thing is keeping you from moving forward into God. But I'm just telling you right now, according to the Word of God and the Scriptures, God is getting you ready, so let him get you ready. Because it's going to change your life. It's going to change the lives of the people around you. It's going to change the whole, this decision of God moving in Peter's life and Cornelius' life, getting them both ready for what God was going to do, was going to affect the lives of hundreds of millions of people in the future. because God was getting him ready. I wonder what God's getting you ready for. I wonder what he's going to use that wall to do in your life to get you ready for some awesome change, for the win that God has for you. God is getting you ready. Maybe it seems confusing to you. You don't understand it. Let me just tell you this. Stop relying on your own ability and trust God. Trust God. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in who? Come on, who? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. There's the seeking God part. You got to seek out the Lord, seek his will, and he will show you which path to take. He will be found by you. Stop trusting in your own intellect and start trusting in God. I don't know what's going on in my life, but you can say this. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I know God's getting me ready for something, and I believe it's going to be awesome, and I'm going to be ready when it gets here. This is what's going on in Peter's life. Often, we keep relying on our own human understanding. The thing that was keeping the Jewish believers from reaching the Gentiles with the gospel was their own human understanding. They needed some God understanding. They needed to recognize that God was getting them ready for something great. It would have not been a thing that crossed their mind, really, to reach out to the Gentiles with the gospel. So now God had to intervene and get them ready, and they needed some God understanding. That's why we trust the Lord, not our own intellect. And I'm just going to tell you right now, no one can get you ready like God can get you ready. Come on, there's nobody that can get you ready like God can get you ready. He's good at it. Not Google, not AI, not Facebook, not your mentor, not your coach, not even your pastor. God can get you ready like no one else can get you ready. And you say, God, get me ready for what it is you have. I don't want to miss out on what you have next for me. I don't want to miss out on the win. I'm believing you've got good things for me. And you trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And that's exactly what God's doing to Peter. God's getting him ready. God's getting Cornelius ready. And the moment, if you go back and read the passage, it's a couple chapters, which you can't read all of it today. But at the moment that Peter is pondering this, and God's perfect timing, is the exact moment that the entourage from Cornelius' house shows up and knocks on the door. What a coinky-dink. What a chance moment. How about a divine appointment? And God shows up, and God tells Peter, he says, hey, Peter, go down with these men, and don't be afraid to go with them, because I've sent them. I'm involved in this. And so Peter says, okay. So he goes down, and he meets the guys, and he invites all these Gentiles into his home, which would have been really a no-no for the Jews. The next morning, they get up, and they travel all the way back to Cornelius' house a couple days. And then when they get there, they knock on the door. Cornelius is so pumped to have Peter there. He's so excited to hear what God wants to say through him because this angelic visitation, he's told everybody. The Bible says that his house is full of people. It's not just him, full of people. Some historians think that maybe he even had his whole legion there. He had all these people, his close friends and family and all these people. And when Peter goes in the door, the place is packed, packed. They weren't even on summer break. And Peter says, you know, it's against our law for us to come into, Jewish law for us to come into the house of a Gentile. He says, but God has shown me not to call anything unclean that he has made clean. He goes, so I've come here. Why have you sent for me? So Cornelius unfolds to him the angelic visitation, tells him about all the stuff that's happened. He says, we sent this entourage to you because God told you, God said you have something to tell us, so we're all here. And this is what he said in verse 33. He says, now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. We're all ready, Peter. God got us ready. We've been seeking him, and now we're ready. Then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation, even the Gentiles, the one who fears him and does what is right. So Peter starts unfolding to him all the things that happened. He says, now, let me tell you what happened, Cornelius and all of you people. He goes, you guys know about what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. You know how he was born and how he went about doing good and healing people and raising the dead and healing the lepers and opened blind eyes and did all these amazing things. You know how he was betrayed and he was hung on the cross and he died, he was buried in the grave, but he rose again. And we saw it. Not only did we see it, but we ate with him and we drank with him and he gave us power from the Holy Spirit. And we're here to tell you about these things that he told us. And he says this in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Peter is not holding back. And all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. He's preaching Jesus and him crucified and raised to life and forgiveness of sins through him. And watch this. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. What do you do when you're facing a wall that's keeping you from the wind? You need to do what Peter did, and you need to focus on Jesus. You need to focus on Jesus. This is a Holy Spirit moment. This is a supernatural moment. God got these two people together, these two groups of people, and he brought them together for this moment, at this time, because God was answering the call of those who were seeking him. And Peter's focusing on Jesus. Peter didn't talk to them about how to have breakthrough in your marriage through the power of God, although that's important. Peter didn't talk to them about how, you know, if you give, God's going to bless you, although that's important. Peter didn't talk about how to be a servant of God, although that's important. Peter didn't talk about how to raise godly children, although that's important. Peter didn't talk about how it's important to be faithful to church, although that's important. But Peter fixed his message on Jesus Christ, and while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell. And if you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the power of God to help you break through the wall, you've got to focus on Jesus. You've got to fix your life on Jesus. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." Above all else, seek the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Is it possible that the reason you can't get past the wall is because you've been letting everything else distract you from the one who can get you through the wall? Jesus. Don't let the spirit of distraction, the attitude of distraction, the life of distraction, keep you from the win. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell and their lives were changed forever. All of a sudden, God does something miraculous. All of a sudden, the wall between the Jews and the Gentiles were broken. And this shocked the apostles. They're like, they heard him speaking in tongues. If you read a couple verses later, they heard him speaking in tongues and the Spirit of God, and they recognized they were speaking in other languages. And they're like, wow, the Spirit of God fell on the Gentiles. It was the Gentiles' Pentecost moment. And God rocks their world. And they said, what's to prevent them, right? What's to keep them? We got to make them part of the family of God. And you know what they did next? Shock-a-rooney, they baptized them. They baptized all these Gentiles in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they sought after God. They let God get them ready. God was getting them ready for what he was going to do next. And they began to focus their life on Jesus. If you do these things, God will break down the walls in your life. And I believe he can do it right now. Some of you have been letting the wall keep you from what God has for you for far too long. You've been letting your addiction, you've been letting your attitude, you've been letting your hard heart, you've been letting your sin, you've been letting your stuff, you've been letting your busyness keep you from all that God has for you. It's time to break down the wall.